evening, everyone, and a warm cathedral welcome to the guests that are with us this evening. We're delighted that you're here and always welcome at the cathedral. I love the great solemnity along with tomorrow and the Feast of All Souls. I've always thought that these great days in the liturgical year simply make being Catholic a delight. We have, I think, a patron saint for just about any cause or reason or purpose. This evening feels a bit like a festival of friends to me. I've turned to many saints, those great cloud of witnesses over the years, not only to help me, but also family members and friends, the faithful entrusted to my care. The solemnity reminds us of who we are, what a bright future can be for us. As we celebrate this evening all the saints, both those canonized and those who are unknown, we are joyful that they have reached the goal of life, face to face before God in heaven. They always remind us, keep our eyes fixed high. Always look up. Always look ahead. To remember who we are and the glorious possibility that God offers us. For me, the universal call to holiness, the appetite to be saintly, consists of three things, three simple things. Praying heroically, working heroically, and suffering heroically. The saints encourage us in our own struggles because they, like us, also endured many struggles and hardships. They grew from strength to strength. They matured in the Lord as they grew in years. We also see this journey of growth in the great people of the Old Testament as well. We remember Abraham when Genesis tells us he pretended his wife was his sister because he was filled with fear. But Abraham grew to become our father in faith. Moses had a speech impediment and had protested against being called by God to lead the Israelites out of the desert into the promised land. He knew that he would not reach it with them, but he was given the strength, clarity of voice to lead them. In the Holy Gospel, St. Peter is impulsive and does not want the Lord to suffer, but in the Acts of the Apostles, he's totally transformed and considers it an honor to suffer with Christ. Interestingly, in Acts, it's one of my favorite passages in the sacred scripture. Following the resurrection, St. Peter's reputation had spread. He was traveling from village to village, and when he entered one of them, all they wanted to do, says the scriptures, was to pass by his shadow, to be healed. Stories go on and on. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests, the cure of Ars, not known as the brightest star in the constellation, he struggled a lot while he was in seminary. But at the end, so many pilgrims went to Ars to confess to him that by 1855, there was a daily service of two horse buses between Lyon and Ars. St. Therese, she wrote in her autobiography that after the death of her mother, I quote, "I was once so full of life, but I became timid and retiring, sensitive to an excessive degree. One look was enough to reduce me to tears." But she looked up and looked ahead and became the little flower of Jesus, whose relics even stopped the traffic on Fifth Avenue in New York because so many wanted to be near to her and venerate her. St. St. Augustine. St. Augustine struggled with impurity in his youth. As a teenager, he was influenced by the bad choices of many of his friends and companions. When he was studying in Carthage, he decided to enter a relationship that resulted in the birth of his son. He was so misguided that he said once to his mother, St. Monica, that if we would have no problems between us if you simply gave up your faith and left me alone. Sound familiar to some? St. Monica prayed heroically for him, literally chased after him so much that in some circles she became the patron saint of nagging. He underwent a conversion in Milan, went on to become a priest at the age of 36, a bishop at the age of 41. In our Catholic catechism, no one is quoted more than St. Augustine. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, very colorful past before his conversion. 1515, Ignatius and his brother Pedro were arrested, prosecuted for scandalous behavior one night. Obviously, they did not have a designated driver. St. Ignatius wrote that up into his 26th year, he was given only to worldly desires and pursuits, described himself as proud, arrogant, not only driven by powerful impulses, but violent ones as well. But after his conversion, he noticed that daydreaming about the saints brought him a joy he had never experienced before. We see the same journey of growth in so many of the lives of the saints. That promise, that hope, way of life is possible for us as well. We are members of that communion. Tomorrow we turn our attention to all the holy souls who've gone before us, those that we loved in this place and in this time, so many others that others loved in every corner of God's creation, and especially those preparing to come before the face of God in heaven, or being made perfect to do so in that place of hope called purgatory, so that they too will enjoy heaven, that place of refreshment, light, and peace. Most beautiful description of purgatory I have found is described as a hospital where we learn how to love and forgive, where we learn how to love and forgive, so that when we reach that place, the end of our days, we will know how to love and to forgive perfectly. So during this Mass, we thank God for those whom He has welcomed to heaven. During November, as is our Catholic tradition, we pray especially for those who are still being purified, because we believe our prayers help them. We are, all of us, living and dead, united around the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So together with them, we pray with great hope that someday we too will hear the words of Christ recounted in another chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. Come, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.